Welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast, where health, nutrition, and love for the horse come together. This podcast is brought to you by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I'm your co-host, Kim Brown, along with equine nutritionist, Dr. Nicole Rambo. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Kim. How are you today?
I am doing so good. Today, we're going to talk about what I call emotional feeds. So these are the feeds or feed ingredients that horse owners are wary about because they can make a horse hot or hyper or excitable. So Dr. Rambo, first, can some feed ingredients really make a horse more emotional than other ingredients?
I love the way you put that. And yeah, absolutely. I think all of us have experienced that anecdotally, that we change our horse's feed and now all of a sudden we have a different critter. And, you know, I think emotional can mean a couple different things, right? It could mean a horse who is being expressive in a really happy way, like, oh my God, I have so much energy, which might look like running and bucking. Or it could be an expression in a negative way, which is, oh, I'm not happy, which can also look like running and bucking XYZ or spooking or whatever. So fairly complicated. But yeah, we can absolutely see the impact of the diet on the horse's behavior, both positive and negative.
Okay, so what kind of feed ingredients as horse owners should we be looking at that seem to make horses more excitable, and why does that happen?
Well, we're still working a little bit on the why, although research has revealed some things, you know, but ultimately what we're mostly looking at is the amount of sugar and starch in the horse's diet. And multiple different ingredients bring sugar and starch into the diet. I do want to be clear, there's no such thing as a no sugar starch diet. The only thing that doesn't have any non-structural carbohydrates is fat, and we can't feed a horse just fat. So, you know, all of those ingredients, your forage, your grains, most of your supplements, unless they're a straight fat supplement, all of those ingredients are bringing in some quantity of sugar and starch. Things that are really high in sugar and starch, you know, the traditional diet of the horse, the corn, the oats, the barley. And certainly we've learned quite a bit how, yes, those are readily available sources of energy. And sometimes those sources of energy are used for good. Okay, think the thoroughbred racehorse. They're working hard. They have intense energy demands. They need very, very digestible, quick energy to do their jobs. A lot of us don't ride critters that are working really hard and need quick energy. So that excess energy could, you know, show itself in those less desirable behaviors relative to our, you know, breed or discipline. Sugars, you know, the other component, you know, forage is the main source of sugar in most horses' diets. We're often not as worried about that unless we're talking about the metabolic horse. But, you know, things like lots and lots of molasses, that's a high sugar ingredient, can contribute to that. And, you know, how those impact the horse, I said, science has started to unwind that. So we have some research that shows that high levels of sugar and starch actually create some hormone fluctuations. We know this impacts things like insulin, ACTH, that we talk about in the metabolic horse. But thinking about the healthy horse who's just, you know, their behavior is maybe not what we desire. There's some research that shows that those ingredients increase dopamine. And dopamine is thought of as a happy hormone, but it can lead to elevated awareness or hyperexcitability in horses. So there's some research that links those together. And then more recently, you know, there's a lot of research going into the microbiota of the horse. So those bugs that live in the digestive tract, just like we have bugs, you know, bacteria, protozoa, all of those things that live in the digestive tract. And they're learning more. It's super, super early. They're learning more about the gut-brain axis and how what we feed influences the microbiota. And that has a feedback mechanism with the brain. And we know that diets that are really high in sugar and starch disrupt that microbiota. So that may kind of lead to some of that behavior. And then just, you know, the super basic level, we know diets that are high in sugar and starch increase the likelihood of digestive upset, whether we're talking about ulcers, maybe issues in the hindgut if we're feeding lots and lots of starch. And just a horse who's uncomfortable can oftentimes display behavior that we might call emotional, whether that's kicking at your leg when you put it on, bucking, spooking in the corner, whatever. That can simply be a pain response, which pain can come from anywhere, right? This could be a number of things, but certainly digestive pain could lead to that.
Well, that is really something I hadn't thought of. That is very interesting. So it's starch and sugar and sugar, both of them, that horse owners need to look out for. So can a feed that is labeled low starch, and I'm using my air quotes on that one, actually be high in sugar? And what does that mean?
Yes. So, you know, 20, probably close to 30 years ago now, when I'm saying the royal we as nutritionists, not me individually, started looking into this concept of decreasing non-structural carbohydrates in the horse's diet, they really focused on starch. So all of the early research talked about low starch, and you still see feed that has a focus on starch and as a marketing claim might say that it is low starch. It's important to realize that starch in the small intestine is really rapidly broken down to its individual sugar components, mostly glucose. That glucose is absorbed into the bloodstream, and then it, you know, goes and does many jobs. One of those things might be causing that hyperexcitability. Well, sugars in the horse's diet are also glucose. So looking at them separately when we're thinking about the impact of diet on the horse really doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just where the research started a long time ago, and we've since realized that physiologically, we just need to look at the bucket that is sugar and starch. Now, I will say, sometimes when I'm thinking about the very ulcery horse, I could have a feed that's relatively low in sugars and starches combined. But what we know is that sugars can be fermented in the stomach into volatile fatty acids and actually compound issues in the integrity of the lining of the gut. So making it easier for that acid to kind of break down the lining of the stomach, which leads to ulcers. So there might be a situation where I look at a particular individual and I see the total non-structural carbohydrates in their concentrate are relatively low, but maybe in that individual, they're so sensitive that I need to remove molasses from the equation. So thinking about the impact of a single ingredient. Now, I'm not saying the molasses that's what we call conditioner molasses. So you might see in a ration balancer molasses way down on the ingredient list, tiny amount of molasses in there, which actually helps the pelleting process. I'm saying feeds where you can visibly see molasses on the exterior of the pellet. So the NSC might be low, but thinking about that horse's individual issues, that ingredient might be a problem. Not to say there aren't lots of horses who, you know, eat those feeds that are pretty low NSC with a little molasses on the outside for palatability and do great. Just to point out that it is relatively complicated.
Okay, so that is kind of complicated. So what about the forages? You had mentioned that the forages are main source of sugar. And I've heard that some horses actually get more emotional when they're out on fresh pasture or they're even eating alfalfa hay.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll tackle those separately. Fresh pasture, specifically spring pasture, can be incredibly high in sugar. So I think we have a combination of the weather is changing. Horses are just feeling a little emotional normally because they're feeling good in general. But what happens in the spring is, you know, the grass starts growing, yay. But when we have conditions where the sugar that's accumulated during the day isn't used up overnight, so we have those warm, sunny days that are gorgeous, and then we have chilly nights, the grass accumulates in the sugar. And horses can eat a lot of grass. Right? They can eat many, many, many pounds of grass. It's super palatable. You know, they spend all of that time grazing. So that can contribute a lot of sugar to their diet, which it's just more calories, one. Two, it's more sugar, which, you know, we can have those impacts on hormones. And on some of them, it might be creating some digestive upset as well. That's why we're careful when we adapt horses onto pasture. So any of those different things can kind of contribute to that. My horse gets a little wild when we have that spring pasture going on. The other one you bring up, alfalfa. Now, not to say there probably aren't some low percentage of individuals that specifically are reactive to alfalfa. We know feed allergies exist. I think they're often overdiagnosed. We know the blood tests aren't super accurate. More often what we see happening is that alfalfa, average alfalfa compared to average grass hay, alfalfa is more calorie dense and the flakes themselves tend to be denser. So you take a horse who'd been eating 2 flakes of grass hay and you feed them 2 flakes of alfalfa hay. Not only are you feeding them more pounds of hay, just flake for flake, it's also more calorically dense. So we've just provided a whole bunch more energy, and that energy has to go somewhere. That energy can go towards gaining weight. That energy can go towards extra activity, which you may or may not appreciate. So, you know, originally, and you still hear sometimes like, it's all the protein and alfalfa that makes horses hot. That's not true. But it's just those extra calories, when it's an abrupt switch, can make horses feel a little bit fresher.
Okay. So here's another one I've heard. What about protein? I know there's a lot of horse owners who don't like high protein feeds because they think protein will make their horses more emotional. So myth or truth?
Kim. So I know you have children.
Yes.
And think about this. How did they behave after they went to a birthday party and they had candy and cupcakes and all of the things?
Like, I wanted to leave them there.
Right. Did they ever act that way after you gave them a hamburger or a steak?
No.
No. No. So same thing. Like, horses, they get sugar high off sugar. The protein does not behave the same way. Protein is actually, like, if we look at the biochemistry of it, protein is not that efficient of an energy source in a horse unless they're in starvation mode, when they are literally breaking down their own muscle for calories to prevent themselves from dying. Otherwise, like, yes, protein contributes to energy, but it's not a metabolically efficient way to add excess energy to the diet. So, you know, we absolutely do still have people like, I only want a 10% protein feed. And I'm like, that does not matter at all. But overall, like, protein is not what's driving your hyperactivity. Now, excess protein in the healthy horse, they just urinate it out. In horses with underlying kidney issues, okay, that can be problematic. So I'm not saying that we should feed like extreme amounts of protein on purpose, but the difference between a 10, 12, or 14% crude protein in a concentrated feed, so something you feed by the scoop, is so negligible that it's not a focus that most horse owners need to even worry about.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here, Dr. Rambo. So I grew up in Kentucky, and I worked around the thoroughbred industry for more than 30 years. Can I take my normally emotional thoroughbred or Arab horse or barrel racing quarter horse and actually change its personality and how it's acting by the feed ingredients I use?
All right, Kim, now we have people screaming that, like, my thoroughbred is really chill. And you know what? I just bought a new horse who happens to be a thoroughbred that is very chill.
I love the puppy dog thoroughbred. I love them. But there's different personalities.
Oh, sure. I've owned and ridden very spicy ones as well. So here's what I tell people. And we actually did a case study podcast with my other hosts, Sarah and Heather. So you guys can go back and listen to that. And what I said was, when I get the call that is like, hey, my horse is hot, spicy, whatever, and they tell me they're feeding 2 scoops of sweet feed per day, I'm like, cool, I can probably make some improvements here. That does not mean that I'm going to take your horse who is just wild and make it a kid's packer, right? We do know that diet influences behavior. However, horses are individuals and they have baseline behavior. And functionally, we are not going to take a horse who is just by nature a hot animal and make it a calm, quiet walk, trot packer just by changing its diet. So I don't want to give people unrealistic expectations, but we can influence that behavior. And maybe just taking them down a notch or two makes everybody happier, makes your training rides more productive, whatever. So I do think the impact of nutrition on behavior is valuable, but we need to recognize horses are individuals, and some of them may have fairly strong changes in behavior, but you have to still appreciate who the horse foundationally is and what their baseline is. And certainly anyone who promises you just a feed change will make that giant change, I think they're being maybe a little overly optimistic.
Okay, well, and that's a great point. And again, nothing disparaging to any of the horses that I mentioned. It's just that some breeds are known for being a little more emotional naturally than other breeds. And do you have any final words on this topic about emotionally? How do you, you know, not make your horses quite so emotional with feeds?
Okay, so two things. One, provided they are not morbidly obese, the more forage we can feed, that's definitely going to help. One, gives them something to do. Two, we know it's good for their digestive tract. So kind of hitting some of those different check marks that might make a horse emotional. So if we can lean less on our concentrates, provide more of their calories through forage, that's always a positive thing. And then two, it's probably important for us to point out, we've talked about how sugars and starches are hot emotional ingredients. Well, we should probably tell folks what to replace it with. So when we're thinking about the concentrate, leaning on concentrates that are higher in fat and fiber and lower in sugar and starches is how we're going to provide that calm energy. Because with a situation that I sometimes see is someone rescues a horse from a bad situation. Like, oh my God, it's so calm. Well, that's because it's 300 pounds underweight. And then once it's at a healthy weight, it's a different animal. So we certainly don't want to just remove calories without replacing them in a way that is appropriate. So we keep horses in a healthy body condition, give them the energy to do whatever their job may be. But if we focus on digestible fiber and fat, those are going to be the cool calorie replacement for our hot emotional things, oats, corn, those sort of ingredients.
And so I've got to ask, so what am I looking for on the bag when I'm looking for that?
So when we are looking at the actual tag, you're going to have the nutrients listed. Sugar and starch are the AFCO approved, so how we are supposed to label those. They're not required to be labeled. So, you know, you're going to look for feeds that tell you how much sugar and starch is in there. For fat, so we look at the crude fat percentage. You know, your traditional sweet feeds were really low fat. 4%, 6% fat was like considered a high fat feed back in the day. Now we have, you know, 8, 12, 13% fat. So we can look for those higher fat feeds. And when we're looking at fiber sources, we want to make sure they're good digestible sources of fiber. So things like oat hulls and rice hulls are essentially indigestible, but they increase the fiber value on the tag. But ingredients like beet pulp, dehydrated alfalfa meal, soy hulls, those are all really good sources of fiber in the diet. And the final thing I want to point out, and sometimes we get a little stuck on this, is the NSC number. So my horse is hot on a feed that's 18% NSC, so I have to get it to 15%, whatever. I'm making up these numbers. Yeah. We want to think about feed intake as well. So when we add more fat to the diet, we can make our meal sizes smaller. So sometimes we can see a reduction in non-structural carbohydrates without really moving the percentage that much, because I went from having to feed 10 pounds a day of my old feed to only 6 pounds a day of my new feed. So just thinking about that total picture, the percentage is important information, but it's only the importance in the context of how much of this feed am I actually feeding per day to actually figure out how much sugar and starch is in the diet, how much additional fat are we feeding, to kind of create that balance that will hopefully support your horse in being as emotionally stable as possible.
Well, and again, now that we've talked about that part, is there anything else that you want to add on this topic of the emotional horse and feeding it?
You know, I think we have covered it today. I know we're kind of bumping up on our total time here, but if listeners have questions, please reach out. We're always happy to help. You can reach us through the Tribute Equine Facebook, Instagram, reach out on our website. Or if you know, there was something in this podcast, you're like, I'd love to learn more about that. Please let us know. We're always open to podcast topic suggestions as well. We love to hear from you guys.
That's great. So big thanks to our listeners. Make sure and contact us. You can do it through the Tribute Equine Nutrition Facebook page or any of the other social medias. Or there's a link to contact us in the show notes. And don't forget, as Dr. Rambo mentioned, you can go back and listen to the other equine health and nutrition topics on previous episodes of the Equine Connection podcast.
Thanks so much, Kim.